Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's time for our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, the Northwestern Medicine Chief Medical Officer out there at Central DuPage. Doc, is it safe to shake hands again? I was thinking about this over the weekend because I was in a few crowds. Can we shake now? Is the coast clear?
Bob, it's a great question when you think about, are we concerned now about COVID? Or are we going to be concerned about influenza? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, a lot of the mitigation that we did over the past couple of years really slowed down a lot of infectious diseases, not just COVID. So shaking hands, whether you're fist bumping, elbow bumping, you know, just be careful where you put your hand after you shake it, because we'll often touch our face, and that's exactly why we get sick.
Yeah, good to remember that. I know you're urging people to get their flu shot in the next couple of weeks. Why now?
Well, a couple reasons. One, you're going to start to see, look at a day like today, you know, when it's going to be in the 20s and 30s, a lot more people are going to be doing indoor activities and a lot closer. But also, just look at what's gone on in the Southern Hemisphere, which we've been talking about, and people say, oh, that's historical. Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on now in the United States then. Look at the Southeast, look at Texas, where influenza cases are really ramping up. New York, high. Washington, D.C., high. And I'm sure you might have seen in the paper in San Diego, a school with 2,600 kids had 1,000 kids out with respiratory illness last week. So certainly the early influenza season looks like it's going to hit us. And I'd like to have everybody vaccinated, certainly before, you know, Thanksgiving holidays and, you know, some schools that take an extended break at this time.
And you like that new high-dose flu shot, don't you?
Absolutely. For those over the age of 65, 100%. We know as we age, our immune system just does not, you know, work as well and is not as strong. That's why we saw COVID initially. Look at who was impacted. Those over the age of 65 could not, you know, sustain an immune response. So that's why we've done it. We've done it now for a couple of years, and it's really worked well. So anyone over the age of 65 going into either your doctor's office or a CVS or Walgreens, certainly make sure you're getting one of the vaccines that are noted to be appropriate for seniors.
Symptoms of the flu and COVID similar?
Yeah, unfortunately, they are, right? You know, you get sore throat, you can get a fever, you can get body aches. So they're almost identical, and that makes sense because we have to remember, if everybody remembers way back when, COVID is a subvariant of the virus that caused the common cold. So certainly it was just one of those that was on steroids, I'll say. It was much stronger. So absolutely the two can kind of test the same or bring out the same symptoms. So that's why we're going to be doing a lot of testing for both influenza and COVID as individuals get symptoms coming into this season.
And how are we doing as far as the COVID numbers go? What's the story there at Northwestern, and what are you hearing from your colleagues at other hospitals around here?
Yeah, we're doing okay from a hospitalization point of view. You know, we really haven't seen a big increase. We're kind of staying pretty steady. We're on a county call once a month. And last week we had our county call, and everybody in DuPage County is staying pretty steady. But still, you know, concerns of what's going to happen because our vaccination rates are as low as they are. So as we get inside and we know BA4.6 is a little bit more infectious, are we going to start to see a bump up? And we may not see it in the hospitalizations, and we may not see it in the intensive cares, but we're certainly going to see it in the workplace and in schools.
Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most with us, as he is every Monday at this time. Let's talk about that colonoscopy study, the largest of its kind, that came out last week. What's the takeaway from this, Doc?
It's interesting. So this was a study that started in 2009, and the collection rate was between 2009 and 2014. So what they're really doing now is looking at the results from the 10-year data. And what they did is very different than what we do here in the United States. What they did is they invited people to have a colonoscopy, or they said, do what your normal country does as far as screening, which in Europe is totally different than what we do here. Of those invited, only 42% said yes to the invitation. So those 42%, they went and ran the data, and they showed about a 31% reduction in colon cancer and a 50% reduction in the risk of dying from colon cancer for those individuals who had the colonoscopy. Now, you say, gosh, that seems low, and in the United States, that would be low. We're closer to 40, 45% reduction in the risk and almost 70% risk of dying with routine colonoscopies. So people said, wow, maybe we're doing this wrong. Maybe the impact and the cost of having a colonoscopy is not the right thing to do, and we should start looking at other avenues and other testing. But I would be really hesitant for many, many reasons. You know, one, in a lot of countries and European countries, the individual who does the test, the gastroenterologist, it's operator specific as far as how accurate they are. That's one thing. Two, in Europe, they don't give sedation for colonoscopies. And now these tests can be very uncomfortable, but in the United States, if you know anybody that's had a colonoscopy, they use sedation and they don't even remember it, and it was not uncomfortable at all for them, mm-hmm. which allows for a more complete exam, I will say. So I would not say we're going to see any changes. I think we'll certainly look at this. And I think technology is going to play a big part of this as we go forward. And will colonoscopies be replaced at some time with advanced imaging? Will it be replaced with capsule endoscopy, which has been used, which is a camera that you swallow looking for lesions? Cologuard, everyone has heard, seen the ads for that. Will that continue to increase and decrease the need for colonoscopies? So I wouldn't rush out. Here in the United States, we've had way too many cases of early. And if you remember, we talked earlier, I don't even know, it was probably a year ago, when we moved the screening age of colonoscopy from 50 to 45, just because the impact of young adults getting colon cancer. So, interesting study. Not sure that it's going to be earth-shaking, but certainly it has gotten a lot of attention.
Yeah, why would they, what was the figure, like 23% of the time they in Europe, they sedate before the test? How come so low over there?
It's a great question. You know, again, they're a lot of socialized medicine, trying to keep costs down as much as they possibly can. So they don't want to have an anesthesiologist there with the gastroenterologist because the cost would go up as much. You know, and I'll sit there and say, okay, you can do the math however you want. The cost may be up, but any identification, because the gastroenterologist was able to do a more thorough exam, is going to save you costs in the long run from an economic point of view.
Well, I'll tell you, the sedation. The sedation was so pleasant when I got mine, and a couple of times, I mean, I just asked the doctor, "Could I come back tomorrow and have another one?" I mean, there was nothing to it, and of course, I think that's one of the things we should stress. If anybody is scared of the procedure, it's nothing.
It really is, Bob. And most people, the part that bothers them most is the prep.
Yeah.
The day
yeah.
before, you know, and that's really important, right? Because we want to make sure that gastroenterologist sees everything he possibly can. So that's probably the part that people don't like, but certainly probably one of the most important parts. And really, knowing that the gastroenterologist here in the United States do a lot of these. They know what to look for. They know about these precancerous lesions. You know, people say, oh, you know, you got your colonoscopy. What did you get? Did you get 3 years? Did you get 5 years? Did you get 7 years? Did you get 10 years? You know, when's your next one? So that individual with some precancerous lesions that may grow somewhat slow is going to get, hey, you know what? You got a 3-year pass. You got a 5-year pass. I mean, I've had polyps removed and I'm on a 5-year pass. So, you know, it's great. Other people, they don't have to have it for 10 years because we know about the anatomy of colon cancer and how it grows.
Hasn't the prep changed as well? Aren't there different types that are a lot easier?
Absolutely. You know, yeah, people say, God, I used to have to drink gallons of that, and that's not the case anymore. The prep is much easier. And really, you know, you start some dietary changes prior to the prep, and really it makes it so much easier. And like you said, after the test, you have two things. One, you don't remember the test at all. And two, you have this sense of, oh my gosh, that's one thing I can check off my list and I don't have to worry about it. The Western diet is a lot worse than a lot of countries. You know, you look at some of these countries, and they're not on diets as bad as we are here. So certainly there's a lot of different factors that play in, and I would not send the message that people should be saying, oh, I don't have to have my colonoscopy. In fact, I'm almost glad they did this study so that the conversation comes up of, when was your last colonoscopy, and are you due?
And you mentioned age 45 now, and if people are at high risk because of a family history or other factors, it's even younger, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Family history, they move it up again, 40. Some people are actually even saying 35, just because we know sometimes these are slow-growing cancers, that if we can stop them early and eliminate them and treat them, much easier to do it. And that's what people have to understand, too, is the colonoscopy is not only a screening test and a diagnostic test, but it's also a treatment. They can remove those cancerous polyps often without any need for surgery or any other thing after that. So it's more than just a check you're cleared up. It could be a, hey, I removed three cancerous polyps and, you know, you're good, but we're going to see you back here in a couple years.
Thanks, Doctor. Most important information. And I think I finally understand the study now. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob. We'll talk soon.